Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the first half is Peter Melman, who's a fantastic writer. Take some calls and lots of spirited debate and opinions, as per usual. First, blinds galore. Blinds galore. Getting close to Blinds Galore's Black Friday sale. Everything, blinds, shutters, shades, 50% off. Order free samples and be ready when it starts November 26th. I have them at home. I have them in the studio. We have them in the edit bays. We have them in my bedroom. We have the electronic ones. It's great, man. Everything they make is fan-damn-tastic. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements, down to an eighth of an inch. Nothing gets made until you order it. Designer quality products without the designer price. And they have a new Build a Blind tool, lets you create and customize your window treatments online. See exactly how your blinds and shades will look before you buy. You can get your free samples and get started today. I think get up to 12 and all the different colors, and you can look at the texture and everything else. It's the best. It's Blinds Galore, right, Dawson?
Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know that Adam sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, prolific Seinfeld writer Peter Melman. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, he cares as much about Ukraine and impeachment as his dad cares about the Fast and Furious franchise. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
This is a litmus test of how dumb are you.
It's all right. Well, I got a dumb question for dumb. I was
I'll excuse myself.
In here with Dr. Drew, I want to thank Musician. We'll tell you about them and Blinds Galore and Castrol Edge. I was in here with Drew the other day, and somebody posed a question to us and they said, when somebody doesn't get a joke, whose fault is it? And when do you know it's your fault versus their fault? The audience.
Okay.
Or the person you're telling the joke to, you're sitting alone with,
right. Mm-hmm.
at a table. So I answered this way. I have said on stage before to zero laughter, but it always makes me laugh if somebody said, their dad died 6 months ago. I go, no son should ever have to bury a father. Mm. And it's insane because, of course, everyone right. should have to bury their parents. But people nod their head like mm-hmm. when you say it, they don't really get that it's a joke. Mm-hmm. Now, it's funny, but I also, it's on me. Mm-hmm. I know they're not going to do the process, the math, and I'm not going to get the laugh. So in that particular case, that would be on me. It's a funny statement that it has a weird rhythm to it, and it takes the right. audience too long to process it.
Yeah, I think there's three categories of jokes people don't get. One, it's on you, because it's either poorly phrased, or haven't worked out right, or whatever. It's on them, which means there's some figuring out, or some reference, you know what I mean, some cultural thing that they don't get, some point of reference that they don't understanding, turn of phrase. Then there's it's funny to you, like that's funny. No child should ever have to bury a parent. It's like that's ridiculous because it's turning on its head. It's funny to you. It's not funny to other people, apparently.
It's funny if they understand it, but they don't really understand it. They just nod their head. They kind of go, yeah, no, you're right. understand what you're saying. It's kind of like when people say, I could care less.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can care less? Or they go, I used to think about this whole gay marriage thing, and then I did a full 360 on it.
I feel the same way now.
Are you guys like me where you wrestle internally, like, do I correct this person or I just let it go?
I usually
know what they're saying. You have to let it go.
You let go, right? That's decorum. Then you let it go.
I keep walking. I usually keep walking. But
does it rub you the wrong way?
It's nailed on a chalkboard. It depends what our relationship is. If we're at a Starbucks and they're mispronouncing Alan and they're holding up my Frappuccino, I go, give me that. Give me that. Yes, I'm now Alan. Forever, I'm Alan.
It's transactional.
Yeah. I'm moving on. But if it's somebody I have to deal with on a regular whatever, okay. So I said, you know, when I make a joke like that, it's on me. It's funny, but I know people don't get it. And I know you have to explain it to them and it rhythmically doesn't work. And then I thought, but then there are other times when it's not really on you. And I was hearkening back to this incredible exchange I had with my editor when I was doing not Taco Bell material. I hadn't thought about it. Now I'm writing another book, so I'm kind of thinking about
how to confuse people with your jokes.
How to confuse people with my jokes.
How to guide.
And there's a couple of things. It was the cover, the back of the book, and I'll sort of paraphrase. Or it says, comedian Adam Carolla, in his early days as a carpenter, he was just like Jesus, except he didn't gouge the elderly.
Okay.
And that was at the very end of a joke, of a book that was filled with jokes. And I sent it to the publisher, and the publisher sent back these words.
Hey, guys. Attached is a draft of the jacket with a back cover included. It looks really terrific. Please look it over and let me tell if you have any corrections. One thing I need to raise with you. I love the Adams like Jesus thing, but I have to admit I don't get the gouge the elderly part. I thought it was just me, but I've showed it to a lot of people now, and not one person understands what it means, many of who are big Adam fans. Was he known for gouging the elderly? I don't remember them even playing a role in the New Testament at all. Can we just change the last part after except to make it something that's going to resonate more? Thanks.
Was he known for gouging the elderly?
I've gone through many a testament.
I'm no biblical scholar, but I'm an atheist. I'll go out on a limb and go... No, he probably wasn't known. It was probably something he did.
Yeah.
Sure.
But you're not going to pour over the Torah.
But it's not the first. When you talk about Jesus gouging the elderly, it's probably seventh on the list.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not top five.
Yeah,
not
top five.
Not top five. Not top five. Maybe he's got a good publicist. I don't know.
I've done a lot of thinking about this joke since it came up, because you brought it on this show and you read this whole thing, and I didn't get it at first either. I was like, wait. What? Because there's a bit of a back and forth. I thought a lot about this. And footnote, you've often said, like, if you want easy lifting, just ask you carpenter questions. Just ask me carpenter questions. You've said this or something to that effect. Yeah, that's light lifting for you. I am the same way with copy editing, grammar, all that stuff. I just ask me all hours. I'll answer these questions. And I thought about this, and this is a copy editing problem. You can't have two names and then say he, because no one knows what the he is referring to. The joke has to be Adam Carolla is just like Jesus. Early days as a carpenter. He was just like Jesus, except Adam never gouged the elderly. You understand what I'm saying? The he tripped people up because people thought he was referring to Jesus. Obviously, as Chris just read.
Well,
and also you emphasized he. He is not emphasized there.
They screwed it up by underlining a bunch of the wrong stuff.
Yeah, this is a copy of the problem.
And I don't know. Is that the final version of the book? Because they kept underlining like the wrong words, but. He was just like Jesus. So we know we're talking about Adam and...
Yeah, because there's only one name mentioned before that.
That story. Mm-hmm. But he didn't gouge the elderly.
And just like where you said he was just like Jesus, he comes on the heels of Adam. He comes on the heels of Jesus. So people are confused.
Well, now, wait a minute. I may be confused within the confusion. He means Jesus. I mean, he means me, but he didn't gouge the elderly means Jesus.
No, he actually means you, Adam, but you're referring that Jesus gouged the elderly.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Adam is just like Jesus.
This is the last version of it. I was trying to get them to underline he or something to do it right. So
so instead they underlined every other word?
They wouldn't do what I want them to do, but comedian Adam Carolla in his early days as a carpenter, that's on top. That's a picture of me, and it says he was just like Jesus, except he didn't gouge the elderly.
It would be like saying Anderson Cooper interviewed Joe Biden, and he said, "Who are we talking about?"
I don't know. He was just like Jesus, except for he didn't gouge the elderly.
The first he works, there's only one name.
So wait, just to go back a few steps. Brian, your problem with this is you don't know if we're talking about Jesus or Adam.
It's not clear.
Got it.
We're talking about Jesus or Adam.
And initially, Adam, was that your problem with it? Because I don't think it was.
No.
They understood it.
That's what I'm saying.
No, they weren't confused. They said Jesus didn't gouge the elderly.
Right. Okay. Right. So I don't think anyone's confused about if it's Jesus or Adam. Jesus or Adam are very far apart.
It's got to be Jesus because it may not be phrased 100% correctly, but it's got to be about Jesus.
Yeah. If the joke is about Jesus, it's phrased correctly because it starts with a he and then it's a he again.
But they got that it was about Jesus. They wanted to know about Jesus gouging the elderly.
Right.
They looked it up and they couldn't find any news about Jesus gouging the elderly.
Okay.
That's why
it's on them. I
still
want to go too many branches to figure this out.
Yeah. So you can read what they said one more time because it makes me laugh.
One thing I need to raise with you, I love the Adams like Jesus thing, but I have to admit I don't get the gouge the elderly part. I thought it was just me, but I've showed it to a lot of people now and not one person understands what it means, many who are big Adam fans. Was he known for gouging the elderly? I don't remember them even playing a role in the New Testament at all. Can we just change that last part after except to make it something that's going to resonate more?
So thanks. They understood they were talking about Jesus gouging the elderly. They just didn't get if that was news. Now, first off, let's say it played a minor role in the New Testament. Why is it on the back of my comedy book? What all of a sudden the atheist is gonna talk about Jesus for a while.
Wasn't it Baby Doll said Jesus would be the last guy that doesn't he wasn't that his
Baby Doll weighed in as well, which is
that's the joke though, right? Jesus would be the last guy to gouge the elderly.
I think so. I mean Baby Doll weighed in. Now again, to be fair to Baby Doll, he's playing golf and he wants to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So he just wants us to disagree with the guy.
Stamp it.
This guy's writing checks. Give him to write you a check.
He writes, "I think it looks great. Congrats. It's a fantastic design. And while I'm hardly a theologian, I've never heard of Jesus gouging the elderly, ? And then he circles back again and goes, I get the carpenter reference. Since Jesus wasn't known to gouge anybody,
gouge.
And he wrote gauge, including the elderly.
Told you he's golfing.
I think you should dispense with the gauging concept and say something like, he was just like Jesus without the swimmer's body, or something like that, which would make more sense to the book buyers. To which Adam responds, wow.
Okay. Well, first off, in the picture, I'm 170 pounds, and I do have a swimmer's body
in
the picture. So now,
why are you taking friendly fire?
Yeah, number one, but number two. All right, so this is a group of people who are not familiar with the story of Jesus gouging the old woman in Bethlehem.
I love the slightly passive aggressive, a little bit snooty note from the editor. I don't remember the elderly playing a large role in the new... Oh, really, dickbag? It's in the book of Mark.
So, you want me to rethatch your roof? Wow. I'm going to need some shekels, sweetie. How many shekels? I'll take 2 goats as a deposit.
And your daughter.
Yeah.
Dowry.
Couching. Now, there's a context, because I just wrote a whole irreverent book about horrible jokes and stories. So,
was your response to any of these things, that's the joke?
I was having difficulty at this stage where people didn't. They understood what the joke...
I don't understand the premise.
Well, they kept saying Jesus didn't gouge the elderly.
But that's the premise. The premise is it's absurd to suggest that Jesus would gouge the elderly.
I know, but I mean, it's like saying my wife was so fat, she didn't sit around the house. She sat around the house. I'm like, do you have aerial footage of your wife sitting on the house and crushing the house? Like, no, I don't. It's a joke. Like, right. Well, we need to verify your wife engulfing the house with her giant body. Like,
I searched Google
Maps.
That's
what jokes do. Mm-hmm. They take little premises and they turn them, they twist them a little bit. I can't figure that. I don't know. So
I strongly stand by my putting instead of he didn't gouge out, Adam didn't gouge out.
Wait, you write the whole thing out as it would have. Put it back up on there, and you can write it out there.
All I would replace was the whole thing.
Read it out loud the way you'd like.
Comedian Adam Carolla in his early days as a carpenter. He was just like Jesus, except Adam didn't gouge the elderly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
there's
still they still get the joke, and I know they got the joke because they don't get the joke.
They know the premise.
They just don't understand why it's funny.
They discussed the premise, gotcha. And they screwed it up. But yes, I agree you could write Am. Now, what I wanted to do is have nothing underlined except for the second, except for he. And underline it, didn't gouge the elder. That's what I kept saying. They were underlining like just and was. And
it's weird.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, that I don't get.
Yeah, the whole underline.
He was just like Jesus is all underlined.
Right. I said, just underline the second he, except he didn't gouge Yoli. Anyway, that was a strange conversation, especially when they got into looking for passages in the New Testament about Jesus.
We've asked around.
Gouging Yoli. And also, you know I'm an atheist, and all I've been doing is writing fart jokes for the last 4 years. You expect me?
A Bill Maher level religious joke.
He found Jesus Christ. And that's not even Bill Maher. That's a Bill Maher joke. Like, why do you think in your world, I've taken a turn for the serious?
Yeah. Once the book's over.
A parting
can't
shot.
Can't explain it.
It's like Jerry Springer's final thoughts. After the melee on stage, like, let's be good to each other.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. There's questions. Max Pata has some Korean lady. I guess she's a Korean pop star.
Oh.
Her name is Amber Liu. I guess it's Amber Liu. And she said something about the guy who was eating the sandwich on the at the BART station that the cop was bugging.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I think she said what I said, which is, "Hey, cops, who cares if a guy eats a sandwich on the BART platform? But hey, guy who's eating a sandwich on the BART, when the cop comes up and tells you to walk it over, just do it. Mm. Just he's a cop. It's fine. That's how it
it's
works.
Good strategy
it's
for
kind
life.
Of,
yeah.
Always kind of been that way. Mm. Here's what she said to get herself into trouble."
Sandwiches deserved it, dude. I think he just fucking deserved it because, dude, he's just being super disrespectful. It's like, you don't have to act like that toward a police officer. Like, a police officer is a police officer. You just still show some type of respect. Mm-hmm. Know your rights, but show some type of respect.
Yeah, but that's going to a touchy area because I think culturally we don't understand what the black community goes through. So they respond way different to officers than we do.
All right, so she's like, "Listen to the cop," which again, I don't like the chicken shit cop stuff. I get it. Anyone that's been pulled over in L.A. for not having a front license plate, which I have multiple times, or a tint on the window, I don't like it either. It's just kind of a part of life. And what you have to do is you have to make this exchange with the cop as fast and as clean as possible. So it's essentially, a homeless guy just called you a motherfucker, and it's like you got to go, okay. Well, you don't need to settle his hash or fix it or whatever. Just you need to kind of keep walking.
Yeah. Well, just like the cop is, like, at the end of the day, the guy's like, he's a guy with a badge and a gun and the right to use either one of those things. It's like getting held up at the ATM. It's like you can be indignant and say this isn't right and say you're an asshole and this is wrong. But at the end of the day, the guy's got a gun and you've got money and let's make this transaction that you survive.
Get the guy's badge number while you're walking over finishing your sandwich to throw the wrapper away and then call a supervisor or whatever, the hotline the next
day. Live to fight another day.
All right. So then what happened to her, Max Pat?
Oh, she got destroyed. She was the number one trending topic on Twitter over Sunday Night Football, which is very rare.
Wow.
And and everyone's trying to take away
Miles Garrett's retweeting everything with her name in it.
and so she sent out an apology.
No, come on.
Let's hear it. Because she don't want to go out to the cornfield. You're going to the cornfield. Let's hear it.
So she writes, "I am so sorry. I saw a video clip, made an ignorant snap judgment, and I majorly messed up. It was my fault for not being more aware of how the systemic racism in the United States has continued and gotten worse while I spent the last 10 years overseas. I 100% do not stand for racism and discrimination. It angers me that he was singled out because of the color of his skin. It is completely unjust, and I'm so sorry for not seeing the whole situation and jumping to a conclusion. I'm sorry for hurting you guys. I've always stood for equality. I've always stood for love. I believe in hashtag Black Lives Matter. And I'm so sorry I've negatively affected so many people because of my ignorance. And I will continue to educate myself in this matter.
Wait a second. Question. With all of that confusion and all of that whatever, I reported the story. Did it ever come up that he was singled out because of the color of his skin? Or that he was a guy eating a sandwich on a platform. Sandwich.
They just assume if you talk to black citizens, if cops approach them, it's because of the color skin. It's now a foregone conclusion that that's the way it is. Now, again, my white privilege is being fucked with by cops all the time and knowing they do that to everyone all the time. I mean, who's whiter than Gary Smith? The guy gets pulled over all the time for limo tints and no front license plate and all that kind of stuff. We've all had it. I've had talking to guys had
Young Money, Cash Money.
I don't know about that.
Talking to guys had three motorcycles towed. So we all have had the cop come up and tell us to do something stupid or stand somewhere else or do something that sounded like nonsense. But anyone, look, when I was walking to the theater in Burbank, by the way, no safe space is held over at the Burbank AMC, right. So go out and enjoy that. When I was walking to the theater, I was reliving this moment from about 1994 when I was crossing the street. It was right where the P.F. Chang's hit San Fernando, whatever. It's a T. Big street going one way, big street going another. It didn't keep going because if you kept going, you're in the mall. It's a big T, and there was like a box truck or van or something sort of parked in front. I was waiting for the signal to change, and then the signal changed, but a kind of a van like turned in front of me, and I had to wait a moment for the van to like get around the corner. And then when it got around the corner, I stepped off, and I just walked. I just walked across the intersection.
What have you done?
And I got to the other side, and I was standing on the other side, and a guy in a cop motorcycle, a policeman, went the same direction I was going. He crossed where I crossed. He didn't cross in the crosswalk. I was in the crosswalk. He crossed after I landed on the other side. Then he shot across on his motorcycle. And he said, I'm giving you a ticket for jaywalking. And I said, I don't get it. I waited for the signal. I was in the crosswalk. I was just walking. I'm over here. You walked. You drove. You got here after I got here. How dangerous could this be? Said, you stepped off the curb and the light started blinking.
Oh, my God.
I said, yeah, it started blinking because there was a van in front of me and I had to wait for the van to turn. And then I just walked. I didn't run across. Yeah. I just walked across. Yeah, well, you stepped off and the thing was blinking. And I said, okay, this is nuts. You're giving me a jaywalking ticket in a crosswalk at a signal where I waited for the signal to turn and then I walked across? Yes, I am. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to fight it, and then I'm going to win. But in the meantime, I'm going to have to go down to the courthouse and make an appointment and then have a trial and show up, and I have to pay the ticket first.
That's how you win.
That's how I win nothing for taking 2 days off of work. Now, I'm clearly going to win because we're in a crosswalk, and I walked across a crosswalk with the signal, and all the cars, by the way, were lined up coming down the street as they do there, and I just walked in front of all their bumpers, like nobody's going anywhere, no one moved, no, their signal's red the entire time, and I'm walking across, and the guy goes, yeah, go ahead and fight it. I'm like,
I got enough
okay,
time.
Meanwhile,
I'll
it's
going to
ruin, okay, I shall take this ticket, and I shall fight it, so no. Go ahead. And then I went down, and then I made the appointment, then I paid the fee to fight the whatever, and then we made the other appointment, and then I went down to
prepaid.
The courthouse. Yeah. And guess who never showed up? The fucking cop.
Too busy writing tickets.
Didn't show up. He probably knew this one was going to be a tough one because I was in the crosswalk. Okay. So I'm white. And my white privilege is knowing he wasn't a racist cop. He's an asshole cop. If I was black and male, I probably think that may have factored into this, and I could have conveniently thought, if I looked like a 19-year-old Ron Howard, I wouldn't be getting this ticket. Well, you guys should know, I got that ticket, and I've gotten many others like that, and if you talk to any of my white trash buddies from the San Fernando Valley, they could all tell you the same types of stories. So there you have it. But anyway,
I don't know if that would be good news or not, but they've changed the law. As long as you make it to the other side by the time it turns, you're good.
Oh, good.
Like, you can step off now in the middle if you run.
On the other side, God help you if some pedestrian's foot is still in the street while you go straight.
That's right. Needs to change.
They write them on both sides, right, unless there's an island in the middle for you to hang out on. All right, anyway, she's apologized.
Oh, good.
The forced apology, that's the part that's starting to feel like communism here. That's the totalitarian part of this whole thing. Like, that's the scary. I don't know why the woke mob getting after people doesn't bother me. It's the forced apology.
Yeah.
That's the part
the
that feels
statement.
Orwellian and scary and wished out to the cornfield.
Yep.
You're bad, man. You're going to the corn. No, little Billy. It's a real good day. It's a good day.
It's a good thing you did.
There he is.
Yes, little Billy's going to wish you all out into the cornfield.
You know, you're going to be shocked by this, but I just listened to the latest episode of Dolly Parton's America. And
there's more than one.
The title is called Dolitics, and it's about her take on politics, which is she has none. And if I knew we were going to talk about this,
it's not about the critters that spread Lyme disease.
Oh, dare you! But they talk specifically about, I don't know if you remember from 2 years ago at the Emmys, Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Dolly Parton all came out together to do the Best Supporting Actor. And Dolly stood in the middle silently while they quoted the movie, you know, that Dabney Coleman Parton said, back in 1980, we refused to work for a lying, egotistical, you know, hypocritical, sexist bigot. And everyone clapped. And then Lily says, and now we still refuse to be, you know, right. And says the same line again. And Dolly was furious. She does not get involved. She goes, I have an opinion about everything, but that's not what my fans...
She doesn't sell tickets, man.
But that's what she said. She goes, I have... And nobody... Who has a broader fan base than Dolly Parton between the drag queens and the alt-right?
Boys,
everybody.
Yeah, right.
And she gets what her brand is, and she doesn't want to jeopardize it. And for a woman who's been doing this for decades and decades, who's a multi-trillionaire 1,000 times over, who says the words, it's just scary... I saw what happened to the Dixie Chicks. It's just scary. And you got a woman like that who is above all of us to silence herself. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've had conversations with people, which is doing a lot of interviews for No Safe Spaces and things like that, which is you don't want artists and or comedians second-guessing themselves. Mm. You get up on stage, you grab a mic. What we all love about Mort Saul or Richard Pryor or any of these, you know, guys, these legendary guys, Lenny Bruce came by, they spoke their mind, you know. Now, when you take the stage, you have to go,
is it worth it?
Should I say this or shouldn't I say this? And now, when you take art and you have people stopping and examining in advance, like, I mean, it's sort of like saying, Dr. J, instead of just making one of your crazy moves to the hoop or Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan, stop and really plot it out. It's kind of the end of art, right? Mm-hmm. Or if there's a great jazz saxophone, it's like, don't just rip.
Yeah. Yeah, don't improvise.
Stop and really plot it down. Yeah. We don't want to
run it out.
We don't offend anyone in the audience.
Workshop it.
That is what art is. Art is Magic Johnson's bringing the ball down the court, and he doesn't know where that ball's going. I don't believe he knows. I don't believe the amazing saxophonist knows what the next note is. I don't know that some of the great comedians or speakers or whatever, when they're on there, I mean, yes, you have a stand-up act, and that can be edited as well, but also there's a riffing part of it, and we want our artists to be free to do that, because that's where the great art comes from, the stopping and plotting and wondering how any of this is going to go down. I mean, Magic Johnson, what if he's thinking, what if I do a no-look pass and the guy I throw it to is not looking and the ball goes out of bounds and then everyone starts booing and then the next thing you know, we lose. Like, you want him...
Wouldn't be Magic
in his head.
Would you
like
want
that
going through his head while he's pushing that ball down the court? Very interesting. People are having... it's funny. People are scared... People are scared to answer questions.
Yeah.
That's what I really found out. I was doing an interview today, and the woman was talking about No Safe Spaces, and she was saying, the Los Angeles Times did a crappy interview, of course, but they were like, all you guys are doing is highlighting people on the right, conservative people who were shut down on college campuses. And I said, well, there was that whole Evergreen State, and that guy was a very liberal professor, and he got shouted down and shut down. But you're right, the Ben Shapiros or the Ann Coulters or whatever who get shouted down or shut down or whatever on campuses, they are on the right, and that's what the examples are. If Rachel Maddow went to a college campus, she could probably speak freely, or Anderson Cooper. I don't think there'd be mobs and fires and destruction. So, yes, it's true. Those are groups. Those are people we highlight. It's also true that those are the people that are being shut down. I don't think the aforementioned Rachel Maddow would be shut down. And she said, I said, but if you can think of some examples of folks that are progressive going to college campuses and being shouted down and not being able to speak, then tell me. And she said, well, what about the picture with Kathy Griffin and Trump's head cut off? And I said, yeah, that did stir up a whole mob, but that wasn't her going to campus. That was her doing something. And I said, but what if there was a picture of Tim Allen holding Barack Obama's head? Do you think it would be equally, people would be equally as angry? And she goes, I can't say.
No way, no.
And I go, well, don't you think? I said,
the answer is obvious.
Give me an example of something that happened on a college campus where Rachel Maddow came to speak and wasn't allowed to speak.
Will you settle for a magazine?
Well, I'll settle for Kathy Griffin in a magazine. I said, I don't care about that stuff, but I get it. People got upset. But I would also argue that if Tim Allen took a picture of President Obama and did the same thing, people would be equally or more upset. Would you agree with that statement? And she's like, I don't know. And I said, you can't answer that? Mm-hmm. And she went, no. And I said, why can't you answer? It's just a simple question. Can you answer that? And she went, no. And I said, okay. Well, then can you give me an example of somebody went to college who's on the left who wasn't able? And she's like, next question. I was like, okay, well, bitch, don't bring it up then.
Well, and that's
you brought it up.
The answer, I mean, in my mind, the first thing that comes to mind, or the only thing is, yeah, maybe 50 years ago, there were all kinds of, you know, civil rights leaders that were probably booed and whatever. And that was 50 years ago. I can't think of anything since then that comes to mind.
But it was interesting that she brought up an example, brought it up. And was not really an apples-to-apples type example because it was a different format or situation or venue. But she brought it up. I answered it. And then I brought up an example, and she wouldn't answer the rebuttal to her example. I just kind of realized people don't want – like the idea that, it has Obama's name in it and a head cut off and Tim Allen. Like, I'm not even – no way. I'm not getting – I'm not going there. Which is weird because she's a reporter. I mean, like, here, people, what's your opinion or report on this stuff or give us your thoughts on this stuff? I can't say as I blame her because I think people's thing is like, just keep walking. I don't even want any butchered up version where you said, you know, Adam said cut the President Obama's head off
it's
and then you endorsed it.
Yeah.
Right. They don't even want to get near it.
Something Gina said that mentioned that reminded me how much has changed in such a short amount of time. Remember, the Dixie Chicks were pariahs because they dared to criticize the president.
Yeah. They said, we're ashamed that we're from Texas,
on foreign soil, on foreign soil, like during wartime, whatever. Like that was, and they were, that was the, like their conservative fans, like their country fans. You know, like it's come
they
a long way.
That's right.
I know.
Short amount of time.
I remember banging the lead singer back
then. Natalie Maines.
Yeah.
Your girl.
Should have jumped on that sack of money. Jesus Christ. What are the Dixie Chicks doing? They're out playing, doing?
I don't know if they've made an album in a long time.
I
could be totally wrong about that.
I will tell you, like your Dixie Chicks and your Lisa Loebs and those kinds of groups. First off, love chick singers, love chick bands. They usually have the hit, but then there's the one under the hit that I always seem to enjoy.
Feel better.
A little bit more.
You relate to and feel a little more intimately connected to than the hit.
Yeah, the hit's everyone's song. Yeah. This is our song. Yeah. And it's like Chris Isaak's Somebody's Crying or Somebody's Lying or whatever. That's his second one, but that's his best
it's
one.
It's not his Wicked Game.
The Dixie Chicks had Wide Open Spaces, and then the next one was the one that I like. It was Packing Up and that was another one. It's like it's cut three or four on that album. And then, who was I talking about the other? Lisa Loeb, I Do. Or whatever. Remember we did that thing at Garagos' place and the chick got up on stage?
Harmonized?
Yes.
That was the greatest Poor moment Lisa. Of my life.
I have that recorded.
Do you?
Yeah.
Let's hear a little of that, and then we'll find the real one. I'll let you find that or bring it in. Musician, let me tell you about musician. 7 out of 10 adults wish they played an instrument. I feel like it's got to be 10. Oh, maybe the other 3 play an instrument. Maybe that's what's working on. Most think it's a little too late to that for that, or too expensive, or they don't have the time. Musician, it's fun, easy way, and it's an affordable way to learn the guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, whatever you like, even singing. Just download the app to your desktop. Oh, we should have got that for the drunk chick at 10E.
Yes.
You can do it to your desktop, you can do it to your tablet, phone, and you can start playing. More affordable than private lessons. Learn on your own schedule. Want to learn an instrument or just need help getting back onto playing? Check out Musician. They have an extended 14-day free trial with their Premium Plus package at musician.com/Adam. That is U as in Y-O-U, SICIAN.com/Adam. And check it out. Try it out for 14 days for free. All right.
Did you find it? Do we have it?
Well, you said you can get it.
I have
home.
It at home.
Oh, got it. Oh, no, God. I want to hear that so bad.
Max, Pat, I don't feel like we played that here. Like it must be on some drive somewhere or something.
Let me check.
You can check. All right.
Do you want to hear the Dixie Chicks song you're probably thinking
Yes.
of? This was their second biggest hit off the debut album. There's Your Trouble. This was kind of bigger.
Give me the lineup of this album, if you have it.
The other single was I Can Love You Better. That's the first track. Wide Open Spaces, of course, was a huge hit. There's Your Trouble was a single. They can put it on the screen, I'm sure.
What about, right. Was it Earl?
That song sucks. I hate it so
much. I know, but that's the only other one I can think of
Traveling
that you haven't
Soldier
mentioned.
Was my favorite off that record. Are you familiar with that one?
No, but I did have the album and I did listen to it back in the day, and I'm trying to remember which is the song. Could have been There's Your Trouble, but I
You Were Mine was another hit off that album. If that sounds familiar to you, those are the 4 singles.
They did a hell of a cover of Landslide.
I'll figure it out. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Hold on a second, caller. I Can Love You Better. Why Was I Love in Arms? There's Your Trouble. You're Mine. Never Say Die.
It'll be off the next
Tonight's
album.
Tonight's Heartaches. Let's hear Rip. Once You Loved Somebody, Take Care of You. And Give It Up. Let me go. Yeah, I can't remember. I'll
are you thinking of Cowboy Take Me Away?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's been so many damn years ago. Let me just hop to the phones and speak to Michael. Michael, 36, Houston.
Yo, Ace Man. Get it on.
What's going on?
Hey, Paul, Gina.
Hi there.
Hey.
Man, just wanted to get your take on, I know you're a big IPA fan, just as I am. What's your take on these hazy IPAs, the New England-style IPAs?
They're hazy. They're like cloudy IPAs.
Those were a big hit like a couple years ago. They're like the new thing in IPAs.
What does that mean?
Unfiltered, I'm pretty sure. Michael, you might be able to have more information than I have.
They're
literally hazy. They look cloudy.
Mm.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Like
but
a cider.
I don't.
It's nothing like cider.
I mean like a thick cider.
I don't have a strong take on it. I do love an IPA. They're definitely the yummiest of the beers. I mean, like, where were they when I was 15 and trying to get drunk in a park and had to drink Mickey's Big Mouth? You know what I mean?
Coors was like the high-end beer.
Yeah, what we would drink either like Mickey's Big Mouth or some sort of malt liquor, mm-hmm. and it was brutal. Yeah. Like, it did not have those pineapple-y notes, the citrusy notes.
Right.
You know, I could have been an alcoholic at a much younger age.
Yeah.
If they'd only had, if only IPAs were in vogue, again, about the highest level you could reach when I was a kid or when I was a teenager or whatever was Anchor Steam. Anchor Steam was considered like that's the highest end of the highest. Mm-hmm. When you go to the liquor store, if you want to spend the most, you walk out with Anchor Steam.
It's a nice occasion.
Yes. Yeah. And what is Anchor Steam doing now? Are they?
They're pumping up. They have great beers. They probably have a hazy IPA.
Oh, okay. Well,
they certainly have IPAs.
There you go. I've
toured their facility multiple times.
All the beers. You know, Michael Jackson looked at all the children of the world as his children.
Yeah, he sure did.
I feel the same way about alcohol.
Yeah, you don't have to make that choice.
Why do we have to go, I'm a gin man or I'm a vodka man?
There's room in my bar for all.
I will order a martini and two times out of three times I'll get a vodka martini, mm-hmm. but the third time I'll get a gin martini because why not? They're all my children. They're all my children. All right.
This generation's Mickey's.
What are you doing in Houston there, Michael?
I sell garbage trucks.
Wow.
Damn. Oh, really? Used? With the big robotic arms?
Yeah, yeah. I was laughing whenever y'all mentioning the Heil trucks.
Yeah,
a couple episodes back.
Heil makes all those trucks. Is everything? Can a garbage truck now be operated by one single driver? Because I miss the partner.
The guy hanging off the back.
And once in a while, well, hold on a second. When I used to watch like cop shows, so I was like, "Hey, partner. Mm-hmm. Hey, partner. What do you want to eat today? Mm-hmm. Hey, you pay this. Flip a coin, partner." And then always something goes down in the middle of lunch. Sure. You know, they got to beep 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 on Amfray, and they got to jump over to whatever they leave their food. But what I'm saying is, like, once in a while, I'll talk to a cop, and I'll go, "I'm a cop," and I'll go, "Oh, you have a partner?" And they go, "No." And I go, huh. Every cop show I watch, like growing up, the partner. And the garbage man, there was a guy hanging off the back of the truck.
He's the best.
And the other
guy's
driving the truck. I feel like those guys had some good talks.
All the trash trucks I see have two guys in the cab, and the one guy gets out if they have to move like one of the dumpsters or whatever.
Oh, right.
You know, because sometimes you have to slide that down an alley.
But the full residential
robotic arm one, is that a single man operating that?
You know, Ace, unfortunately now it is just a one-man job. It's a lonely man in the cab doing his job.
I like to have that
one can at a time.
Cop without a partner and garbage man without a partner just sitting at the bar drinking a hazy IPA and just reminiscing about the old days.
Mitch.
The worst part about not having a partner is you don't have to tell the story about when Mendoza killed my partner. I swore at that point I'd get revenge. Like, why? You don't have a partner. Your partner's a robotic arm and an air freshener.
Nobody will ever know.
That's a tough
city. Mendoza, the garbage king.
He runs that city.
Send a message.
Hey, when he says recycle, he fucking means it.
Separation plastics.
That's right.
So, you had little kids when this was a big deal, and I know this might not be Tess's thing, but you know, kids love to watch those front loader and side loader viral videos on YouTube.
Them.
Okay, so you know what else went viral a while back is the moms taking their phone out and waiting for the garbage men to come by, and the little kids clap and bring them lemonade and bring them cupcakes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, Tessa loves huge trucks.
Oh, yeah. Not only watching videos of just watching the front loaders, but videos of moms going, "Oh, look, the garbage men are here. Timmy, go give him his cupcakes." And garbage men love the little kids.
Kids love trucks. Mm-hmm. I loved trucks when I was a little kid. That was my pride and joy, is like Tonka trucks and building and blah, blah, blah. There's a picture of me, Maxipata, like sitting on a Tonka truck when I'm like five at my grandparents' house or whatever.
Who gave you a Tonka truck?
Probably everyone band together, chipped in $2. And then, but I also realized, and Max, I know we have a picture of this one too. I had a book, and I used to read the book to Sonny, and he'd point at everyone. He knew about the skip loader and the asphalt spreader and the airport fire truck and whatever. As all the different trucks and all the labels. So you could teach all the kids the label. And then one said minivan, and it was a six-wheeled extendo custom full-size van. And I was like, you guys couldn't conjure together a picture of a minivan? First of all, it's got the word mini in it, and you have a six-wheeled van, two axles in the rear, big custom 70s Lovetron cruiser.
Not mini.
I'm like, wait, whose editor's worse, mine with the Jesus joke or the mini?
It's a neck and
it
neck.
Says minivan. And there are more minivans on the road than there are cars on the road. Why?
I could draw one for you.
You got a six-wheel custom van. Drove me nuts. So you sell those? How much is one of those trash rigs?
Oh, you're going to be over $230,000 easy for the whole rig.
Yeah. How many houses? I know you're going to go, it depends on blah, blah, blah. But, like, before those guys have to head in and offload, how many stops? How many blocks? Or do they? Can they just get all the way through the day?
Typically, 300 to 400 houses.
Damn.
Okay.
I love that answer.
Those are Houston houses.
And here's a vexing question that Dr. Drew once posed, and it's the only intelligent thing that ever came out of his mouth. Why is it every single house I've ever lived in, the garbage man comes at 7:45 and the mail comes at 4:30 in the afternoon? Somewhere, there must be a place where the mail shows up at 8:30 and the garbage man shows up at 4 when I'm not sleeping. Somewhere.
Well, some utopia.
How are they all everywhere at 6:15? Every house I've lived in, that guy's coming in. Beep, beep, beep. New house I'm living in, rolling that dumpster down. It's like 8:10 in the morning.
Crushing
somewhere,
bins.
They must pull up at 3 in the afternoon when I'm at work.
Yeah, somewhere you've never lived before.
I would pay an extra $500,000 for a house if they just went, hey, bitch, here's the deal. Garbage man,
trash
yeah, you'll never see him. Yeah. You'll never see him.
Your trash you'll will just be magically gone.
Yes.
That'd be great.
There's a shoot.
Yes, you'll never be asleep unless you come home from work and take a nap
that's
at 4 in the afternoon. But
you
will never see this guy. Yeah. And if you're expecting something important in the mail, you can get it on the way down the driveway on your way in.
I'd
like pay an extra $500K for that.
Yeah.
How are they everywhere at the crack of dawn? All right, Michael. Thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it. I was on TMZ. On TMZ, the TV show or
what?
The website? Must be the website.
I found on the website.
I just got a text from an insider at TMZ. Says you're going to be on tonight.
Oh, what'd really?
What'd you do?
I don't know
probably
what I was
this
doing.
Clip.
I was walking outside of the... I was walking outside of the Laugh Factory last night. Must be a slow TMZ night.
The Marijuana Advisory Board.
You know,
So Joe Biden just came out and said that he needs more evidence that marijuana is not a gateway drug. And so he says he won't legalize it on a federal level. So I have to ask you if you think this is hurting the work that you guys have done for marijuana, and it's also if you think it's going to hurt his campaign.
Gateway drug, such a weird, antiquated 50s, 60s reefer madness kind of thing. Everything, look, being born is a gateway drug. You could murder, you can commit arson, you can do a lot of things once you get your digits moving. So, it kind of makes him look old, and he should probably just sort of pops it out of the room, and it's 2000 and almost 20, you know.
Yeah.
Gay marriage, pot, what? We're still talking about this stuff?
Right.
But you want to talk about gateway drugs, Doug Benson's performing tonight. Now, he will come out of here carrying a hefty bag with 80 pounds of weed in it. So if you want to talk the weed,
Doug. People say like alcohol is proven to be the gateway drug. I mean, do you think that's true?
Everything is potentially something to somebody. You know, pornography, violent video games. Like, well, this guy watched pornography. Yeah. Him and every other human being who had access to a computer, you know.
Right.
This guy played video games. Yeah, him and every other 13-year-old, you know what I mean? This guy had drank, and then it became a problem, you know. There's vehicular manslaughter. Like, everything is potentially dangerous. All fire is potentially dangerous, but it heats your house, too. So, like, it's a good thing. So, this, like, it's all about personal responsibility.
All right, and do you think this is going to hurt his campaign? I mean, there's a lot of talk right now on Twitter. It's trending that it's really people are going to not want to, you know, support him now.
I don't know. I don't know if he's trying to move toward the middle and, like, separate himself from some of the AOCs of the world. Maybe that's what we're seeing right now. So maybe that's what he's doing right now.
All right.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks a lot for your time, Ty. Appreciate it. Take care.
I was walking back to my... There's a guy who waits out front of the... That sounded sensible.
That was a series of sensible answers that he was probably not prepared for. Because people always go, huh, yeah, oh, no, I love it. Okay, thanks. But you gave him some real thoughtful answers.
Well, if you ask me a question, I feel sort of compelled to answer, which is the reason why I got into trouble with men are funnier than women. Although now I have science behind me. But
emboldened.
Yeah, I know a lot of funny women and I know a lot of funny men isn't really an answer to that question. And I always feel compelled. Yes, Max Banner?
Yeah, the article says, watch, he gets pretty introspective and it kind of makes you think about it.
Well, thank you.
Oh, that's some but listen, Jack geez, reporting.
Clickbait.
I can't. I mean, look, at a certain point, people, whether we're talking about booze or pot or guns or porno, you're going to have to take a little personal responsibility. Yeah. I don't know anyone who can't access a gun or booze or pot or porno. We're going to have to figure out a way to get people to stop thinking it's a good idea to abuse any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's where we kind of head back to the parenting for me. That's why we sort of land in the family. I feel like first line of defense, good, solid family, helps with addiction. It helps with addiction to pornography. It helps with addiction to substance. It helps with gunplay. It helps. It sort of helps with everything. You get good decision making.
You get reined in.
Yeah, there are things like, you know, there's a gene, and sometimes people have problems with addiction regardless. But what we're doing here is we're trying to shrink the pool of potential.
Well, it'll manage addiction. You know what I mean? Help addiction a lot.
Well,
you're going to be an addict no matter what if you have that gene. You know what I mean? Rich family, poor family, whatever.
Right.
Like intact family. You know what I mean? It's going to help manage, treat, help.
My God. I mean, you know, when people go, oh, what about these people with severe schizophrenia and they're on the street? And it's not just they lost their job. They have severe mental. It's like, yeah, that's my my brother-in-law. Severely schizophrenic, has never worked a day in his life, unemployable, must be housed, lives at his brother's house, built him an apartment above his garage so he could live, must be, you know, taken back and forth to UCLA a couple times a week, must medication, blah, blah, blah. Okay. That's what they did. They didn't have means. Nobody, I'm guessing, I paid for my father-in-law's funeral, so I'm guessing there wasn't a ton of cash in the family, or if there was, somebody better cut me a check. They weren't flush with cash. He lived in like a double wide, and they didn't have cash. Yeah. But what they did have is the will to take care of their son. They had the will. Yep. They didn't have a bunch of money. They just kind of agreed, look, we got a couple of kids and a couple of parents, and one person needs a lot of help, so we're all going to have to kind of chip in and take turns helping out here, sometimes financially, sometimes emotionally, sometimes it'll just be about needing a ride this way or that way. But it worked out pretty well for the fella who's now in his, you know, 35th or 40th year of this horrible affliction, hasn't killed himself, hasn't hurt anybody else, hasn't slept on the street.
Do you interact with him?
Yes.
What are those interactions like?
I once said to him that I couldn't tell if there's anything wrong with you if I was standing on the other side of the street, except for there is a tell for all people that have this sort of affliction and all people that are a little bit off. Mm. They insist on wearing ball caps, but they never wear them right. They're always like, it's like somebody wet them down and parked their car on it and then dropped it onto their head. Like,
askew.
You can tell something's wrong with that person by the way they wear their ball cap. Yeah. And I just said, look, I'm in the business. I got a lot of ball caps. I get ball caps all the time from various shows and things I do.
Can I fix you up with a ball cap?
And we went out to TGI Fridays in Canoga Park for his birthday, you know?
Sure.
This one's on That's the Ace do. Man. Yeah. And good news about that segment of society, they don't want to go to Mastro's.
No.
They want TGI Fridays.
They're loud and colorful.
Awesome blossoms.
Yeah, man. They went to chili size. They went to spaghetti with the canned chili on it. Like, okay, $7. Go sick.
The world's your oyster.
Would you
not
like another Fresca?
Yes, he would.
This is going to be awesome. I'm going to get out of here for under $60 or five people here. So I brought him a hefty bag full of hats.
Yeah.
I was like, these are normal hats. Now, let me show you.
Yeah, you'll find a way.
Take your pick.
You can't have the huge tuft of hair in front of the hat hanging in front of your face. It can't look like somebody lowered the hat on you. Yeah. You have to place that cap on in such a way.
You can't mash it on your head either.
Right. Then we will not know. Now, look, if we get into your employment record and things like that, then we'll suss this out. But just walking.
On first impression.
Just passing you on the sidewalk. Yeah. It's all about the hat.
That's right.
Any form of any mental disability, check the hat. It's either a kooky hat that they shouldn't be wearing, or it's a ball cap that's not being worn correctly.
I think we've all learned a lot.
Yeah. like Teddy KGB and those Oreos.
We have the Lisa Loeb video.
Yay.
From her singing my favorite Lisa Loeb song.
Lisa's trying to sing.
Adam, you're loving it. You
She's betting Lisa Loeb. All right, play the real.
Horrified.
Play the real. Play the real song. It's just a. It's just one of those.
The lesser
songs
version.
Like. Well, the one where she's not being stroked. Can Lisa. We Me Too girl on girl?
It's time.
It's time.
It's
right?
Time. Evolved, time's up.
We haven't evolved the Me Too and the lady on lady.
Yeah. Get woker. Then I'm
done with you. No, sorry. The studio version, guys. And when I'm done with crying,
and then I'm done with you. We love Lisa Loeb. When I feel so tired, and then I'm done with you. You know, everybody feels this way sometimes. Everybody feels this way. Hey, Max Zapata.
Yeah.
Well, you got a high voice.
Yeah, you could do this.
You get the high register. Yeah.
People like this song.
I know.
And I feel like it's in your range. It doesn't feel difficult.
So you're
you
going
know,
with this.
Or advanced.
Yeah.
And when your drummer's not shitting up the bathroom, he could, we could mic him up and he could harmonize. Or we could just mic up the stall in the ship and the aft head, and he could just lean into it when he's shitting. He could be leaning forward.
Dude.
Because I poo. You can
hear it, but I do. You can hear it, but I'm feeling this way.
Just because you say. You guys, in the egregious shitting department, destroying a bathroom, a public bathroom on a ship.
Those are close quarters.
Your cabin is 80 feet away.
Those aren't ventilated.
No.
I mean, I walked into that. Like, I'm going to take a quick piss before I hit the stage. And your was it the bass player?
Yeah, I was a bass player.
He blew that place up.
Yeah.
And that's a high traffic zone. I mean, that's at the end. Everyone's hitting the bar real hard, yeah, you know.
Tight quarters.
Tight quarters. Tough. You got to fish your way up to your cabin on that. Or just shit.
Look overboard.
Shit over the railing.
Have some decency.
Maybe we'll get lucky and you'll fall off.
So the first and last time Ray was on a cruise with us, when we first got into the rooms, Fondalier and Ray wanted to see my room because I had a balcony and it was really cool. And Ray disappeared for 10 seconds. I didn't think anything of it. Me and Fondalier are on the balcony. I said, Matt, where do you think he went? And Matt's like, and I was like, Matt, where do you think he went? And 5 minutes later, Ray comes out of my brand new bathroom in my beautiful room and goes, I would leave immediately. I think the two of you need to head out. Gina, good luck to you. Real sorry. He ruined the bathroom before my suitcase even got to the room.
Wow.
Boom. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. Ship etiquette dictates that you got to get your room.
Your own room.
You got to get your own. Sorry. Your own room. That was such a high volume bathroom at the end of that ship in front of the bar there. It's just like one ladies, one man, a lot of people piling through there. Yeah. Anyway. All right, Peter's here. We'll take let me hit Castrol Edge, and we'll take a quick break. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing and creating friction. Three times,
fool!
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Edge, it's the formula, and it's formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. Let me just clean up this last call. Greg, 33, New York.
Ace, what's going on, man?
What's going on? You've been on holds for half an hour. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. Listen, I'm just, first of all, I just got to say, Goodbye Earl by the Dixie Chicks is a great song.
Ugh.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Great song, great song. But that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling more about this frustration I have with our country right now. Seems like everyone wants this whole Medicare for All pitch. I'm sure you've been hearing that in your line of work. And the thing that I feel like people don't realize is that, number one, when you're employed through your insurer, and that's what I do. I'm an insurer. I'm an employee benefits consultant. When you're employed by your insurer, when was the last time that you ever had to take a physical to get underwritten? So this whole thing about pre-existing conditions and, you know, being derogatory or biased towards certain individuals, all that goes out the window, and it's going to go into full effect if we decide to get rid of the entire insurance industry. That's number one. Number two is, if we went to a Medicare for All system, really, you know, who would be fighting against the insurance carriers or the healthcare billing systems? You know, wow. Who's the advocate? I mean, there's companies like mine, and we're demonized because we work in the medical insurance industry, but companies like mine and Marsh McLuhan and Willis, you know, our job is to protect our clients by basically putting together a case of, hey, this is how you're screwing my client. This is how your rates that you're asking for are ridiculous. And here's how we can help get those rates down.
Hey, Greg, hold on a second. Hold on. All right. So first off, I don't know anything about it. I just know that when the government takes over everything, I was explaining to Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, when I'm trying to get a permit pulled for a warehouse in Glendale, and he'd reached out three or four times, and the person won't call him back, and he keeps leaving messages. I always go, okay, what's that sound like? Sounds like the DMV to me, which is I couldn't get hold of anyone at the DMV. We couldn't make an appointment at the DMV. This is the government. They have a monopoly. It's called the DMV. It's called Department of Building and Safety, and fuck you very much. They don't call you back. You guys spend a lot of, like, I'm now thinking, okay, now, Matt, you have to go over there, because there's no modality where they pick up their phone or you can go online and do whatever. I don't like the government running things, because I feel like no competition means no bueno for you. Also, I don't know anything about it, but I have talked to Drew about it. The first thing I would like to do is I would just like to talk to a whole bunch of Dr. Drews out there working in the world and go, what do you think's a good system? How do you want to parse this out? What do you think? One of the things Dr. Drew talks about that no one ever talks about is, what about the lawyers? What about all the insurance? What about all the malpractice? What about all the crazy lawyering costing everyone? It's always like, oh, these drug companies and, oh, these insurance companies. What about the fucking lawyers? What about
them? Part of the reason why the costs are so high.
Right. Never a word out of any politician about the lawyers. It's three parts. It's the drug companies, okay. It's the insurance companies, okay. And then there's the lawyers. I want to know about that. And I would love to do things like, as I was saying to Drew, I said, the other day, I was driving to the Melrose Improv, and it was at night. And I was driving down Melrose, and it was like 8:30 at night, and I passed like a Jiffy Lube. And there were three Hispanic gents like just sitting in the back, like eating a sandwich in between lubing up a car. I said to myself, those guys, and now there's another place I go, and they build world-class racing engines for my turbocharged Newman 80s cars. I don't go to the same place for the same thing. If I just need a lube or a tire rotation, let the Mexican guys eating the sandwich handle it. Yes, they have training, but they don't need to be master builders. You know, these guys who are master engine builders, these guys have 30 years experience. You have to pay them tons and tons of dollars. Why can't we have kiosks? First of all, why does everything need to be an emergency room visit? Why can't we have what we do with cars? Think about what we do with cars. We go, this place will rebuild. This place will do your Duesenberg, but it's going to cost you $300,000. But this guy's an expert. He's a journeyman expert. These guys are lube centers. You want to go in and get your car smogged? You don't need to take it to the guy who does the racing engines on the dyno who has all the expertise. Why don't we do this? And the answer is the lawyers aren't going to go for that. Because if someone goes to the lube center and they want to get their tires and someone's misdiagnosed, then the lawyers step in, then the malpractice.
The costs go up.
Right. All right. So So let's back off the allure. Let's get some tort reform and let's start parsing this out. Not, you don't need Dr. Drew to look at your elbow when you banged it on the stair railing.
Whoops.
That can be anybody.
Exactly. I pull him aside every time he comes in.
I know. We have free access. But we don't need, we want the specialists doing what they do. We can have people with lesser degrees doing everything else.
You have to take the Ferrari to get groceries.
Right. There
you go. And I want to say, I do believe that health care, not health insurance, is a right for everyone. And therefore, there needs to be a place for every single person to go to get that health care. However, what I feel like politicians are lying about is they conflate those terms, health care and health insurance, as if they're the same things whatsoever.
I agree.
One is a good. The other is a function of risk management. So the law of large numbers needs to come into account here, and no one does that in a Medicare or Obamacare system. And that's really what, you know, trampled the Obamacare system, was they tried to combine the two.
It's never government just sort of taking over everything and having it. Look, the VA is screwed up. That's the government taking over health care for a small group. I like competition. And this thing of like, well, you know, there's always, but I get it. There's always, but deal with Department of Building and Safety, deal with the DMV, and then get back to me and tell me if you wish there wasn't a second DMV that was competing with our DMV that I could deal with.
Yeah, let's go across the street to the other DMV.
All right. Peter Melman is a longtime writer for Seinfeld, written so many of the classic, the yada, 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 and the shrinkage and double dip. So many of the classic episodes, and now he's got a book out. We're going to talk to him right after this.
Get your tickets now for Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. December 7th at Virginia Street Brewhouse in Reno. December 13th and 14th in Oxnard at Levity Live. In Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater on January 24th. And at Chicago's Park West on January 25th. Adam Carolla is Unprepared for the Holidays. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Peter Melman is in the studio, longtime Seinfeld writer. He's on a second novel. His dog's in here. He just wrestled with Phil for 10 minutes.
That was awesome. I have a good 40 seconds of them playing that we can post.
Kind of pure, right?
Yeah. You know what the best part was? At the very end, somebody took it too far and got growled at, and then they just went their separate ways. Like, we don't need to intervene. They got it.
Peter, that was your dog growling at my dog, because my dog doesn't growl.
Ike does occasionally growl. He's, he's kind of a stickler for decorum.
Yeah. Or possibly racist, because I do have a black lab. And
yeah, and he's a dog of color.
Is he?
You know,
he's got a little calico in him. What do they call that? Brindle? What do they call that with when the pit bulls look calico? Is it called brimble?
I don't know. I've never heard that term.
Brindle. Champ is brindle.
Brindle. Look at that. Hashtag me as well is the name of the book. It's available now on Amazon. And it's a dark comedy about a sports writer's joke going viral and upsetting woke America. So perfect timing for this stuff. God, being in comedy and living in the world we're living in, I know Seinfeld just kind of says he doesn't do college campuses anymore. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I can't imagine anything that Jerry says being offensive to anyone, but that's me. It is a really scary time. I mean, you can't – you know, the funny thing is, you used to at least be able to say, gee, is that kind of offensive? Now you have no idea. It comes right out of left field. You can't even imagine that what you're saying is offensive.
And, right.
And since last time I've seen you, I started doing stand-up just as kind of a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it, by the way. But, you know, like, it's amazing. Whatever you say could be misinterpreted.
And used against you.
Yes. Well, here's my thing, and I've always said this, and I've said it for years, and nobody listens to whatever the fuck I say, except for everything turns out to be true. So why don't you assholes start listening up, which is, I am not interested in what people say. I'm interested in how they act. And I've always said, okay, the guy's an arsonist, but he's never struck a match. He's never lit a fire. So who the fuck cares then what you're calling the person or labeling the person? I really don't care what's in anyone's heart. I don't care if your heart is racist. If you never act on it, then I don't care. So if you make jokes or you say things, but you never do anything to harm anybody and you just pay your taxes and raise your fucking kids and you're a good neighbor, then what interest do I have on what's going on in your head? Who could possibly tell what's going on in your head? It seems like a bizarre pursuit to try to figure out people. You know, when they talk about 90% of these people, when they make these accusations, the person's never put their hands on anybody. They've never fired anyone from a job. They never removed a livelihood from it. It's quite the opposite. It's the other people trying to get the livelihoods removed. So this person that just goes about, pays his taxes and signals when he turns right or left. Why do we have to remove this person or bring them out to the public square and flog them? I don't get that. Find the fucking murderers and the real arsonists and lock them up.
Well, you know, like, victimhood is like the chicest thing in America. Mm. I mean, people just sit home and scan the web hoping to be offended.
It's crazy.
They're just sitting there waiting, begging to be offended.
Well, there was a... Everybody has a... It shows that we all have a yearning on some deep level to be a victim or to be counted amongst victims, and I know it well. Really, you'll learn everything you need to learn about society by studying seven-year-olds, because they're humans before they've been housebroken, essentially, right? They're right. Society members who believe, you know, if you said to a seven-year-old, hey, listen, there's three of you. Here's a sack of M&Ms. There's 15 M&Ms in the sack. You get five. That guy gets five. And that guy gets five. The other guy goes, no, that's not fair. I'll take 15. And you go, yeah, but what about the other two? And it's like, I want the 15. And you go, but don't you think if it was their M&Ms that you'd want them to? And they go, yeah, but it's mine. So I'll take the 15. That's where we start. And then we have to break everybody as we move forward. Now, we all know adults that have never been broken.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been broken. Mm-hmm. But as a society, we do that thing where, like, your little baby sister, who's seen this? When you're a kid, your little baby sister comes into the kitchen crying. She's got a boo-boo or whatever. And the little brother sees her getting all the attention. And he starts crying and goes, my arm hurts too. And then she gets some of the attention. That's how we're hardwired. But it gets worked out of us. And we become adults. Or if it doesn't get worked out of us, now we're living it.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what to say about it anymore because it's so oppressive, you know, just the society pressing down and turning you into God knows what. It is really oppressive now.
Well, you know,
and I sometimes do jokes and stand up just to see, you know, like what the offensiveness level will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
how's that work out?
I did this one about going to the Museum of Tolerance and, you know, saying that they had an exhibit about Islam. And, you know, like, I learned that it's really a very beautiful religion and it's not fair to let 75 million bad apples spoil the whole bunch. And the range of no laughs to some nervous laughs to really a huge perfect laugh is right. Amazing. And you right. Never know from night to night.
Well, now we're in a world where people sit in a comedy club and they're looking at people next to them for the okay to laugh, which we discussed earlier. Second guessing as the artist is bad and second guessing as the audience is bad as well. I now realize there's a few. We're also very much wired. Again, we're all just narcissists. This is everything. All roads lead to narcissism. This is narcissism. You want to be liked. You want to be spoken well of. You want good articles to be written about you, and so on and so forth. Like, I get it. That's what we all want, and we're willing to bend to go there so that we can get stroked that way. But I now find myself, as an atheist, I find myself jealous of deeply religious people for the first time in my life, because I know some people that are very religious, and they go, I fear God. I don't fear anybody else. I say what I believe is true, and that's what I say, and I'm not worried about what repercussions or what other people have, because I'll be judged by God, and I won't be judged by the guy on the Twitter. And I go, wow, it must be awesome. It must be awesome. I mean, I don't, I'm an atheist, but God, I wish I had a little bit of that.
Maybe you should pray to God to make you a stronger atheist.
Oh.
Yeah, you've been looking at this all
write
wrong.
Write that down.
Get him his own game.
Right. You know Jesus used to gouge the elderly? I don't know if you... Oh, it's an old joke.
The wrong one by Peter. He's a professional joke writer.
I said on the back of my comedy book, back there was an old picture of me, it's autobiographical, and there's an old picture of me as a carpenter. And I said, I used to be a carpenter. It's on the back picture. Well, you can look at the screen, I guess, and see it. Adam Carolla, in his early days as a carpenter, he was just like Jesus, except he didn't gouge the elderly.
What year did that come out?
Do you find that to be a funny joke?
I do. I love that.
Do you get the joke? Because my editor didn't get the joke.
Or do you get that it's a joke?
Do you get that it's a joke?
I totally get that it's a joke.
Okay. It's implying that Jesus gouged the elderly. My editor could find no reference to Jesus gouging the elderly and thus was confused.
Oh, well, I'm sure he had lawyers poring over the Bible. You know, I was doing this one joke about, like, meeting a woman who's wearing a huge cross, and I say to her, boy, you must be really into and she says, Jesus Christ. I said, yes, sorry, I'm so bad with names. And sometimes even that gets like, ugh.
Well, if you are really? If you are in, look, we all know it from any bad relationship we've ever been in, which is anytime somebody is set to partner, male, female, whatever, they're set to misery mode. Like, I'm going to put this through my shit scoop here. Like, just anything that comes in is going to come out bad. Mm-hmm. If you're living with that person, then you can't say nice dress, or you lost weight, or you want maybe, you want me to pick, I bought you a membership to SoulCycle for Christmas or whatever. It's all bad. It's all bad. Like, there's nothing that doesn't get turned into something bad if that's your setting.
Right.
And so if you're in the audience and you're in, like, offend me mode, well, then everything's going to. And if you're in happy-go-lucky mode, well, then nothing will do it.
Yeah. I find the best thing that I did to kind of combat that is just to have absolutely no interaction with the audience at all. Like, pretend they're almost not there. Like, at times, if they're laughing, I'm like, okay, stop. I want to move on here.
I go Jim Morrison. I turn my back to him. And then I walked on down the hall. Come on, I'm fucking my mom. It's not funny. I just killed my dad. Come on, give it up.
The premise is,
I live Jesus in this house with the longest hallway and a super hot mom. Okay, and a dad who's a douche. All right, so that's the base. That's the setup for the joke. The book, tell us about the book. So the sports writer has the tweet go, or the joke go viral, and then Woke America comes after him.
Yes. The funny thing is that's not how I intended the book originally. You know, like, first I was reading this obit of Philip Roth, and I was, like, shocked that he could get so obsessed about a Jewish mother or something like that and keep writing about it. And I was like, what would I get that obsessed about? And I was thinking, like, sports is something I could rant about for, you know, a few hundred pages. But then I had this joke lying around, and I put it in the story, and of course it turned into me too. I mean, you know, I'm not giving away too much by telling you that the joke in the book is that he says to his sports writer friends, they're talking about a soft NBA player, you know, a player mm-hmm. who really doesn't like physical contact very much. And this player happened to have gotten injured, so the main character in the book, this Arnie Pepper, kind of offhandedly jokes by saying, how long is a guy usually out for a hysterectomy?
Right. That's funny.
And the joke, which is very kind of borderline, you know, maybe offensive, maybe not, maybe sexist, maybe not, but the joke goes viral, and humorless America, you know, rains down right. on this Pulitzer Prize winning sports columnist.
My editor looked up an anatomy book and says that's impossible. Yeah.
There's no record of any man ever having.
Although Jesus did have a hysterectomy.
Oh, is that true?
Oh,
he did. Oh, they pierced him. That's right. The Romans yeah. pierced him.
Yeah.
When he was on the cross.
See in hell. All right. Let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you, Ed? Save a bunch of money on your auto insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money. Put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day at geico.com. All right, let's take ourselves a quickie break, come back with Peter, and we'll do the news right after this.